Hello, and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Cami Culpepper, the Family and Connections Minister here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. We're excited to be in a series we're calling In His Steps, Your Life Has Meaning. As you listen to these devotionals, our prayer is that you would find your meaning by being deeply rooted in the love of Christ as you learn to walk in His steps.
You're listening to Day 8 of In His Steps. Today's title is Jesus' Surrendered Service. Matthew 20, 25 through 28 reads, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Our text today is Matthew 16, 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Today begins week 2 of our journey in His Steps. Charles Swindoll's comments on Matthew 16:21 provide an excellent transition into this decisive week of our quest. Peter's profound profession of faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, no doubt received a round of amens and affirming nods from the other 11 disciples. Maybe a quiet, "Aw, he beat me to it," could be heard from the back. I'm sure they knew it to be true, or at least hoped it was. Who else could he be but the King, the long-awaited Messiah? Though Peter was the only one to speak up, he surely spoke for the rest of the 12. But even though the disciples likely had a clearer understanding of what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah and Son of God than did the average crowd member or the above-average Pharisee or Sadducee, they were still very much in the dark regarding the exact mission of Jesus. Slowly but surely, Jesus was going to dissipate the fog and reveal what was going to happen to him in the coming weeks. So, immediately, on the heels of Peter's confession and Jesus' warning not to broadcast the fact that he was the Messiah, Jesus stated plainly the reason for his coming to earth. It wasn't to defeat and dethrone the Jewish elders, chief priests, and scribes, but to suffer humiliation and persecution at their hands. It wasn't to conquer the Roman Empire and replace it with his eternal kingdom, but to conquer death and sin by dying in the place of sinners and rising again victorious. John Phillips adds, "The disciples had scaled the heights. Now they must scan the depths. From now on, they must prepare themselves for his final rejection at the hands of the authorities and for his death, which was as certain as the sunset. Matthew said that the Lord began to talk about these things. He would go on talking about them in the days ahead, adding more details. He began by concentrating on two aspects of Revelation, one full of hate and the other full of hope. He indicated that the rulers would conspire against him and kill him, but that they would not have the last word, for he would rise from the dead. The disciples hardly heard the hopeful part. The part that shook them to the core of their being was, he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things at the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Perhaps they caught the cadence of the ands, and. It was a deliberate drumbeat marking out each step in the onward march of the Son of God. But they missed the last and, which was just as deliberate, just as decisive, and be raised again the third day." Note the word must in 16:21. It is stated once, but implied throughout. We could state the thought this way. The one you have just confessed as Son of God must go to Jerusalem and must suffer many things and must be killed and must be raised again. The point of danger was Jerusalem, but Jesus could not stay away from Jerusalem because that must came thundering out of eternity. Christ's death was decided before the foundation of the world, before the beginning of time. He had come into the world to die. Events must take their course. Men would kill him. God would resurrect him. The cross would become God's instrument for providing salvation to men. Must came out of the past and blazed the way into the future ages of eternity. The must of resurrection was an integral part of the divine plan. Jesus fully submitted himself to God's plan. He came as the sacrificial servant. He served others by dying for our sins. We must learn to sacrificially serve others if we are going to follow in his steps. Consider these questions. In what ways was Jesus preparing his disciples for what was to come for him and for them? What are the musts in your life that you know are God's plan? Since they are in God's will, how can you look forward to the musts as a privilege in serving your Savior? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.